Hey folks, my name is John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car. It's a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record while I'm on my ride home from work as a school instructional coach. A bit about me, I do work in the high school, and so I have the privilege of working with teachers from like all different departments, and they say if reading is breathing in, then writing is breathing out. And I think that this works much the same way, where I do a lot of breathing in of great instruction throughout the whole day. It's a great privilege and benefit of the job that I get to see awesome teachers doing awesome stuff. And so I use these podcasts kind of as a brain dump to give back and say, here's what I'm seeing, and here's what we're seeing, and here's what the research is seeing, so that we can continue a conversation about ways we can keep doing better stuff and inspire one another to be awesome. These podcasts are about 10 minutes in length, give or take, and I do record them in the car, so I apologize for any horns or sirens you might hear in the background. But I would love to continue the conversation with you because this 10-minute recording is designed to be like a primer with ideas that you can put in your classroom starting today. If you are doing something similar in your classroom, or if you would like to do something similar in your classroom, please continue the conversation with me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, and EDU like education, like teaching, because I like education. I like teaching, and I love to learn. So this week, I'm going to talk about one of the oldest school playground games you've ever encountered and how we can make it work in our classroom. Super simple. All you need is students with one-to-one access to the internet, but they can use any device that you can possibly think of. And as long as you have a blank Google slide, then you have yourself a good old-fashioned game of Foursquare. And so we'll talk about it today. About 10 minutes on Foursquare and how this could work in your classroom. Any content area, this is a fantastic way to check for student understanding. And it can get very heated very, very quickly. Kind of like when we were kids and we played the four square game where you take the ball and you'd bounce it into square one and then bounce it into square two and bounce to square three and bounce to square four with the goal of trying to like outbounce the kids around. Used to be the elimination game where they get knocked out of the sphere in the circle. This one I did not come up with myself. I encountered it in my teaching travels, like I said, my instructional coaching travels. But the way that the Foursquare works in the classroom is you give students a prompt question. Doesn't matter what your content is. Let's pick one. I'll just spin the wheel and I'll say, today I'm talking about world languages. Awesome. We're in world languages. We're in a Spanish class. And today we're studying Spain. And I'm going to ask the kids in groups, hey guys, I'm going to put you in groups and I want to figure out how your group understands Spain. You're in groups of four. So you'll see a Google slide that has space one, space two, space three, space four, just four quadrants. And it's up to your group members, we're not working together, we're actually working against each other, to fill in the image that you think of most when you think of Spain. Ready to play? Grab the internet. You have about 2 minutes to find whatever images you want to. Drop them into the Google slide into the quadrant that was assigned to you. So maybe the first group is, you know, searching for Spain, and somebody invariably grabs a map of Spain. That's a pretty easy one, right? That's the low-hanging fruit. Maybe the second player grabs the flag of Spain. Okay, that makes sense. Maybe the third one grabs a jersey from Real Madrid. Okay, fine. And then maybe somebody else out of nowhere grabs a picture of a tree. We'll talk about that in a second. So here we have four different images dropped into the Foursquare board. Now, group one filled out all of slide one, and it's up to the entire class, without knowing who put in what picture, to cast their votes blind. Okay, guys, hey class, now we have to talk about Spain. Look at the board in front of you. We have four different pictures. By a show of hands, which of those stands out most or makes you think most of Spain? Show of hands. We have show of hands for the map, and a lot of hands go up. Show of hands for the flag, a lot of hands go up. Show of hands for Real Madrid, your soccer fans' hands go up. And then the one for the tree, nobody says anything. They're like, nope, forget it. It does not make sense. Okay, so the winner of the first round, the blind vote, was the person who put up the map. Which of the four members of the group was the map? And then the first student raised their hand. Okay, so that person scores a point. Now, person one, explain to the entire class why you chose to put the map of Spain. It's a very easy conversation. They use visual rhetoric because that was easy. Look, it's a map. I searched for the word Spain. It's the first thing that came up. That makes sense to me. And so I laid Spain right there on the map and I just put it in. Good to go. All right, fine. We then progress to person number two. So person number two, why did you put up the flag? Again, always push into that metacognition because that same person will have had a very different answer than the person who came before them. And you want to see making transparent, making visible the learning. Why did you make the decisions that you made? Because the metacognition is ultimately much, much more important than any of the individual content that they could think to drop onto the board. So they explain, well, you know, I search for the map, but I'm not really good with geography. I like the fact that they have a really brightly colored flag, that gold, that red, it just sort of like speaks to their culture and their heritage. And I thought it were a very vibrant, very passionate group of people. So I like the bright colors on their flag. Now, maybe that's a little bit idealized. Maybe your student doesn't quite get there with their explanation. But they know that this is a chance to make a case, like if a game of apples to apples, where you sort of make the argument for why we should bet on you instead of the next guy. And so if you've ever seen like something like Shark Tank, right? You're trying to win your investors by making a good pitch. So you went from just purely visual rhetoric to now a little bit of like, okay, so there's some gamesmanship here. I heard what the next guy said or the last guy said, and yeah, anybody can think of a map, but the reason why the flag is even a better representation of Spain is ... Like, they were born on that land, they had no call in that, but they've chosen this, these colors, these emblems, these symbols, and it's important to them, and so that, for that reason, it's a great choice. Okay, fine. Now you see people, like, nodding their heads in the class because they get to be the jury, and they know they're about to do another round of voting. Maybe the third group of people says, I love Real Madrid, and actually I'm a big soccer fan, and I picked this one because, you know, I love these players, I love, you know, World Cup, and blah, 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 blah. Now, maybe half of your class has no idea about World Cup soccer, or they don't know Real Madrid from, you know, Lionel Messi or the Argentina team or Pelé, or they don't even know really much about soccer at all. That's not the worst thing in the world, because for this 30 seconds, the student who's presenting is talking about the passion that they understand and how Spain, to them, means soccer. So on a meta level, what you're able to do as a teacher is just sort of back up and let that kid be excited and share his or her excitement with the class. And suddenly Spain is not just some far-off land that we're studying because reasons in Spanish class. Now we're studying, oh, hey, there's this thing there called, you know, soccer, you know, football. And people really like it on both sides of this ocean. And even if we're not from there, it's a thing that people get really fired up about. And as this student is spelling out a little bit of the details, you've given just enough of a taste where it's no longer you as the teacher who's the sole driver of why we should care about this content, but now we have a story we can kind of hook back into again and again and again. Like, oh, it was like Bobby said about, what was it, Real Madrid? And now you know a little bit more about that kid, and the kid feels like they have helped author this unit. It's not just a rote conversation. So then you move to that fourth one, and they said a tree. And you're like, in the beginning, that did not get a single vote on the blind vote. Not a single person in class liked it. But this is the kid who was sort of the low-hanging fruit of the old maid. Okay, so, you know, Janie, why did you pick a tree? And she says, well, I picked a tree because the tree I picked is actually not any one tree. If you'll notice, this is a Joshua tree. And even though it's not really there in Spain, the way that it's shaped and the way that these branches are sprawling, this is a type of tree that has a very ornate and very proud story. The Joshua tree actually has these deep roots that go well into the, you know, miles underground. And I don't know if that's true about Joshua trees. I'm making this up for the sake of the podcast. But as the student is explaining the level of depth and complexity of why they chose that particular tree, like, would never have thought to connect that to Spain. But they're saying, and the reason why I talked about it was because Spain is a country that is so proud of its deep roots. And though it's gnarled and twisted with these civil wars and the violence in this history, there's also a beauty in this sort of weird misshapen thing that has endured all these centuries and is, you know, timeless and ever-changing and blah, 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 blah. Now, again, I'm writing this like an adult would write this, and somebody who has, you know, maybe a more enriched or broader understanding of the content than just any one student. But in theory, if you've been working through the unit, any one student should be able to bring in their own passions or their own understanding in their ability to talk about their content. And then the content you're presenting to them, like, hey, I would have never thought of Spain like a tree, but now that you mention it, that's a really cool metaphor, this idea of this twisted, gnarled Joshua tree. And then you have these students in class, and I've seen it happen, where they're all like nodding their heads and suddenly like eyebrows are up, and they wouldn't have thought about it. And just like that, you have a powerful new metaphor that taught the class about Spain, and you didn't have to do anything. So then you do one more vote. Okay, guys, so now that we've heard the arguments, which of these would you vote for now? First vote was blind, that was pure visual rhetoric, and it usually goes to the most obvious of these things. But the second round, the final round, the one that's worth double the points, is the spoken rhetoric, the way to tie in your visual with your verbal. And here's why I said what I said. And surprises, like, happen all the time. I've had invariably the thing that got the fewest number of votes the first time through be that thing that students take away as they're like, oh, that's our concrete image for this concept or for this idea. And that's really, really helpful. And you can use it for pretty much any content area or any grade level, which is awesome. And again, it can take as little as 8 minutes, 10 minutes, or you can do a full day where you just do slide after slide. Okay, we did Spain on the first one. Now let's go and talk about Mexico. Or now let's talk about Spain and Mexico. Let's talk about Argentina. Or let's talk about El Salvador. And each of the groups of students who presented repeat that same process again and again and again. And the students are teaching the class, which is awesome. I mean, that's the dream, right? You just get out of the way and let people who are smart do smart things. Be curious, be wondrous, and like be excited about learning. And that's really what we want to inspire in all of our kids. So that's it for this week. Thank you for paying attention. I would love to pay attention to you and hear what you have to say and listen to your Joshua Tree stories or your crazy metaphors. Please feel free to tweet at me. I'm at @mehanedu. I love this stuff, and I would love to hear from you about why you love it too. Thanks again. We'll be back next week with more.